You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. This weekend, we welcome our new family pastor, Dustin Agard, who will be sharing with us his journey coming to Journey Christian Church. Also, he'll be talking to us about his heart for the Next Gen ministry in 2018 and beyond. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 23. Today's message is entitled, I'm With You.
I was over there just listening and worshiping, and I began to just weep because of God's faithfulness to bring us to this point. And so I'm a little jittery, and so hopefully we can get through this. I just want you to know it's because I'm overwhelmed by the grace of God. There are so many backstories that led us to this point, and we'll share that at another time, but you just need to know it's good to be here on behalf of myself and my family. Let me introduce you a little bit to my family. This is a great option for us to show you our family because it's everything we love. It is the beach, it is sand, it is water, and when we went to Atlanta, Georgia, we felt like we moved to the North Pole, and so it is good to be back to this. And so so this is my son, Riley. He's in eighth grade, and he loves sports and engineering. And so that's him. Callie Joy is in seventh grade, and she loves tumbling and baking and cooking and just smiling and being awesome. And then this one here, this is Darby, and Darby loves soccer, sausage, and motorcycles. And You may be thinking, did he just say sausage? I did just say sausage, and I don't know why or how, but several years ago, she was about 4 years old. It was time to go see Santa Claus, and so we went to go visit Santa Claus. We waited in line, took our time, and then finally it came for her to sit on Santa's lap, and Santa says, well, what do you want for Christmas this year? And she looks up, and she goes, I'd like two sausages, please. And then Santa then looks at me, maybe the way you're looking at me, and is like, what'd she say? I said, man, you heard her. Give her some sausage. And so Santa was a little confused. We were a little confused, but ever since, she keeps asking Santa for sausage. And so that is the joy that is Darby. And then over here, you see my beautiful wife, TJ, an incredible, incredible woman of God and just my biggest supporter and fan. And so we actually met in middle school youth group. And so we met at First Baptist Church of Orlando. So if we have any middle schoolers, you are in the right place. You might find your spouse here. And so you never know. And we've been married 15 years, and I know that because we celebrated it twice. And so let me explain a little bit what I mean by that. Actually, last year, I thought we were celebrating our 15-year anniversary, so I booked a cruise. I went all out. 15 is kind of a big number, and so we said, you know what? Let's make this happen. And so about 2 weeks prior to the cruise, I mean, everything's booked, everything's set up, everything says 1-5 on the trip, and about 2 weeks, I go and speak somewhere. I'm on a stage just like this, and I say, hey, we're about to celebrate our 15th anniversary. I can't wait. It's so exciting. We were married May 4th, 2002, And afterwards, you know, I get done. Afterwards, you know, people come and talk to me. And they said, I had about three of these identical scenarios. They said, hey, Pastor Dustin, great, great message. Just to let you know, the math doesn't work. I said, what math? They said, well, if you got married in 2002, you're not about to celebrate 15 years. You're about to celebrate 14. And I was like, she's going to kill me. And so... So then I call my wife and I'm like, hey, we're about to have the nicest 14th anniversary ever. It's going to be epic. And somehow we both were on the wrong page, thank goodness. And we both have been celebrating the wrong anniversary for 5 or 6 years. So I know for a fact we've celebrated. We've been married 15 years because we celebrated twice. And so so that was my lovely wife. This is my family. And I know I can speak for everybody in my family that we are so grateful to be here in this community, to be able to serve you, to be one of your pastors. And this is, you know, this is my parents' church. And so it's good to come alongside my family. And we got all kinds of family here, as he mentioned. And so it is home, and it feels good to be home. And so as we talked about earlier, because I am from Orlando, I remember being in eighth grade, and we had the big field trip coming up where we go to Epcot. And that's like the big ticket item. Whenever you go to Epcot, that's the big one. So some of my friends, we've been planning for several weeks, about 8 or 10 of us. We've been planning for several weeks. We're like, man, we know what we're going to do. We're going to go here. We're going to do this. And we had it all mapped out. Then the day arrives, we go, and one of the first things we do is we get on one of these double-decker buses. And I don't know if it was because I wanted the view or if there weren't enough seats, but all my friends were on the bottom, and I was on top. And we started just going around, and we saw Mexico and Germany and Norway, and all of a sudden, you know, and then all of a sudden I see Mexico again and Germany and Norway, and I'm thinking, I've been on this a long time, but I'm on top, all my friends on the bottom. And so I was like, let me just go check on my friends. So I go down, check on them. Sure enough, they're all gone. Like, all my friends are gone. I'm thinking, man, Disney says it's a small world, so maybe let me just stay on it, and I'm going to go around a couple more times, just see what happens. And so I get on again. I see Mexico. I see Germany. I see Norway, and I don't see my friends anywhere. That's at 10 in the morning. I found them at 6 p.m. because that's when we were supposed to return to the buses. And so I just made the most of it all day long. I was just by myself, just jumping in with random families saying, hey, man, let's hang out. Can you buy me lunch? I mean, I don't have any friends. I'm just, you know, and so I just ended up making the most of it. But I remember the bus ride home after we finally connected. And we're on the bus ride home. My friends felt horrible because it wasn't intentional. I felt horrible, wasn't intentional. And one of my buddies on the way home, he just felt horrible. And he just looked at me and he said, I'm with you. I was like, thanks. I wish you would have been with me earlier. You know, I mean, I said, what do you mean? And I'm trying to figure out what he means. And he says, no, I just want you to know, next field trip, I'm with you. I'm not leaving your side. And I remember feeling this overwhelming sense of just belonging and acceptance. And it began to remind me that that's what last week was all about. Jesus was doing whatever it took to make sure that when we were once lost, he came and said, you never have to be lost or alone again. I am with you. As a matter of fact, that's what Matthew 1:23 reminds us. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That was the whole point of what we just celebrated. God screaming, I love you, to the point I want to do whatever it takes to be with you. I'm with you. And I love how John describes it in the Message translation. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And that's exactly the picture. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to do with Christmas. He said, I'm with you. I don't want to offend anybody. This is my first weekend. So if I'm about to offend you, I just want you to give me grace. But has anybody ever seen one of those bumper stickers that says, Jesus is the reason for the season? Has anybody ever seen one of those? Maybe a t-shirt, maybe you have one. If you have one, just give me grace. I see those bumper stickers all the time. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I kind of shake my head because Jesus is not the reason for the season. Jesus, and hang with me, Jesus is not the reason for the season. You are the reason for the season. You are the one that he came to be with. You are the reason Christmas exists, because he was not okay apart with you, from you. And so he had to come down and say, I'm with you. I don't want you traveling Epcot all alone, lonely anymore. I have bigger and better plans. And so Christmas is for you. You are the reason for the season. Jesus is the solution, but you are the reason, because he is that in love with you. And we see this theme all throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, I think the phrase, I'm with you, is one of the greatest things that we could hear. And so what I want to do is I just want you to go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm with you. Now, if you have two people beside you, you just made a really big choice. Turn to the other one and even it out and say, I'm with you. Now, if you're single here tonight, I just hooked you up. Okay? You may hit the jackpot. You're like, I knew I came to church. We see this theme, I'm with you, all throughout Scripture. In the book of Ruth chapter 1, there's a story about Ruth and Naomi. Naomi is this mother who has two sons and two daughter-in-laws. And unfortunately, the two sons pass away. And so now it's just Naomi and Ruth and this other daughter-in-law. And Ruth begins to have a conversation with the mother-in-law. And they begin to have this conversation. Naomi says, hey, listen, you're young. Go away. Go remarry. Live your life. You don't need to keep following me. And so one of the daughters actually says, okay, I'll do that. But then Ruth makes a very profound statement that we see here. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. I want you to imagine this picture. Naomi saying, listen, go live your life. You're young, you're beautiful. Go do that. And then this Ruth person comes in and says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. It's the most incredible thing we could hear somebody say. And that's what Jesus said to us. And I don't think Jesus said, I'm with you just for our own benefit. I think what he was doing is giving an example to follow. I think that's in Jesus' entire life that he lived. He said, I'm not just doing this for show. I'm doing this as an example. So when he says, I'm with you, what we're supposed to do is internalize that and say, community, we're with you. Hey, coworker, I'm with you. Neighbor that I don't know too well, I'm with you. We see this play out in Luke chapter 10 as well. In verse 38 through 42, there's a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha Stewart. Well, I call her Martha Stewart. So Jesus is in this house, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus, and she's just kind of reclining, having a conversation with Jesus, and Martha Stewart is doing everything Martha Stewart does. She's making sure everything smells good, looks good. She's got the vacuum. She's baking. She's doing all these different things, and then she gets annoyed looking at Mary reclining, doing nothing. And so Martha then basically tattles to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, can you tell Mary to stop being lazy and give me a hand in the kitchen? And Jesus has a profound statement that I think we all need to hear today. He says, Mary is right where she belongs. You see, Jesus doesn't need a clean house. Jesus doesn't need a clean life. He simply wants to be with you. That's it. Mary is right where she belonged when she was at the feet of Jesus. When you and I are with Jesus, that's exactly where we belong. At the feet of Jesus. Jesus didn't create us to do his chores and to do all these things. He says, I just want to be with you. That's it. Just like a dad and a two-year-old with the two-year-old on the dad's lap. I want to be with you. In Atlanta, we got to experience a really neat organization called Restoration ATL. And Restoration ATL was a transitional homeless shelter that would bring in women and children that were homeless but looking to get back on their feet. They wanted to get back on their feet, and so it was a six-month-long type of program where they would help you in every area of your life get back into restoration and be able to succeed in the community. And Jim Ellison is the founder, and he had an incredible phrase that I absolutely loved. He said, it's more transformative to be with than to do for. Let me say that again. Being with is more transformative than doing for. And so we would do mission trips to this community. And what he would tell us is said, Dustin, we don't want you and your group to cook. We don't want you to clean. We don't want you to do anything. All we want you to do is go sit at a table, look somebody in the eye, and just say, how's your day? That's all we want you to do. Because being with is more transformative than doing for. What they need to know is that they have value. Because everybody else has told them they don't have value. Being with is more transformative than doing for. I love reading. I don't know if anybody enjoys reading. And several years ago, I read a book called Love Does. Has anybody ever read this book or seen this book? This is the perfect crowd for this message. And absolutely nobody. Great. Awesome. So Love Does. This is a book by Bob Goff. I'm gonna spoil chapter one for you. But what I'm going to do, because it looks like somebody wants this book, I'm going to give you this book. But here's the deal. You have to have never read it. And you have to want to read it, and you have to read it and then tell me what you think. And I'm going to give it away to somebody that meets those criteria right now. So who would like this book? That was the first hand I saw right back there. Come on up here. What's your name? Hugo? Like the cologne? Beautiful. I feel like I should smell you. You just smelled yourself and said no. All right, I got bad news for you. There's no pictures. I looked, okay? But it's a great book. Yeah. Thank you, Hugo. So the book is by Bob Goff. Chapter one is called I'm With You. And Bob is, at this time in the book, a 17-year-old boy that thinks he's got life figured out. And he says, you know what? I've decided I've have it all figured out. I'm going to drop out of high school. I have $70 and I'm going to take off and I'm going to make it big as a rock climber. And so he decides to run away and start his life, but he says, I'm going to just make one stop before I leave. I'm going to go to my friend that's kind of been like a mentor to me and just tell him thanks, and then I'm going to take off. And so he knocks on the door, and his friend Randy comes to the door. He says, hey, man, how you doing? And he kind of unpacks what he's about to do. He says, man, I feel like I'm ready to move on. I'm about to take off, do the whole rock climbing thing. I'm set. I got 70 bucks. It's going to be great. And Randy looks at him and says, wait one second. And he shuts the door, and he goes back inside, and 2 minutes later, he comes back with a backpack, and he says, I'm with you. And all of a sudden, Bob's like, what do you mean you're with me? He says, let's go. He says, go where? Wherever you're going, I'm with you. He says, you want to run away? Great, let's do it. I'm with you. And Bob says he didn't have enough wherewithal because he didn't see it coming to even respond. Next thing he knows, Randy's in the front seat and they're running away together to the mountains to try to make it big in rock climbing. And so the first night they go there and they look for all kinds of jobs, and he gets discouraged because nobody's hiring. And then the next day they wake up and go all over again, and absolutely nobody is hiring him. And now he realizes his $70 is not getting him that far, and it's dwindled down to maybe 10 or so. And he's running out of money, and he's running out of options. And he looks at his friend and mentor, Randy, and he says, man, I don't know. What do you think I should do? And Randy says, whatever you decide, I just want you to know I'm with you. And so, kind of frustrated with life, Bob ends up saying, you know what, this was a mistake. We need to go back home. And so he packs up his things, and they end up heading back home. And he goes to drop Randy off, and instead of just dropping him off the front door, he ends up coming in to the living room. And when he's in the living room, he begins to see all these boxes in the living room. And over there's a microwave, and there's a toaster, and over there are some dishes, and it looks like they've just been opened but not used. And it starts to hit Bob that Randy just got back from his honeymoon, and he's a newly married man. And in the midst of his life, he put that on pause to go with a teenage runaway to simply say, I'm with you. And it was at that moment that Bob Goff's life completely changed. And he met Christ for the first time because he experienced the love of God, because somebody said, regardless of your circumstances, I'm with you. Whatever it takes, 17-year-old runaway boy, I'm with you. And when the world sees that kind of love, they don't know how to explain it, and they don't know what to do. And so we just tell them about Jesus. And Bob's life has been changed ever since. Hugo, you can start at chapter 2, buddy. I just took care of you. Here's the beautiful part. When we go into the community, when we go to one another, when we go to the people in this room, when we say, I'm with you, not just with our words, but with our actions and with our lives, Jesus has a plan for what that's going to do. And it's found in John 17. You see, there's not a lot of if-then statements in the Bible. And what I mean by that is, if you do this, then this will happen. There's not a lot of those, but there's an if-then statement regarding how we treat one another. And I want to read it to you. This is Jesus talking in John 17, verse 21 through 23. And Jesus is actually praying, and he's praying for you. He's praying for future believers. And this is what he says. He says, I pray that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So he says that we would be one, that we'd be with each other, that there would be unity. And it says this, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. So what Jesus is saying is the greatest way for this community to experience an awakening and a revival, the greatest way for us to reach this community is for us to simply go around and say, I'm with you. For us to be able to look at each other and say, I love you, I care for you, how can I serve you? That's the greatest way, according to John 17, that revival takes place, is through unity. And unity is not uniformity. Unity does not mean everybody looks the same, talks the same, smells the same. Unity is not uniformity. And that's what I love about Journey, is that there's so much diversity. As a matter of fact, that's one of the very first conversations I ever had with Pastor John separately and then Pastor Roddy separately, is they talked about how much they loved that diversity of this community and of Journey Church. And one of the things that I think we need to encompass too is this idea that you don't have to believe to belong. You don't have to believe everything about Jesus to be able to have a place at the table. You don't have to believe everything. We don't have to have the same theology or the same political views to belong. This isn't just a club for just people that think like us. When we begin to tell the community you don't have to believe to belong, that there's always a seat at the table for you. I believe John 17 begins to take place and Jesus' prayer begins to get answered. And so what I want to do is I just want to give you real quick, just three ways that we could show the community in 2018 that we're with them. And so maybe you're not a note taker. Maybe you are. If you're a note taker, you're going to love this. If not, hey, it's a new year. Maybe try something new. So three ways to let others know that you're with them in 2018. The first one is very simple. Tell them. Tell them that you're with them. Well, what do you mean, tell them? Tell, just flat out say, I'm with you. And then they're going to go, well, what do you mean by that? And then you're going to be able to unpack and explain your heart for them. One of my biggest pet peeves is people that hoard encouragement. They have encouragement in a heart, but they don't share it for whatever reason. As a matter of fact, I've had so many people say kind of more or less the same line. Well, I'm not going to tell so-and-so that they're good at that because then they'll get a big head and then they'll think they're something special. Isn't that what we want them to do, is feel like they're something special because they are something special? Well, I'm not going to do that because then it's going to look like brown nosing, or I'm not going to be able to encourage that person because we got in a fight. And so we hoard encouragement when maybe that's a God prompt that's saying you need to encourage. God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Use that encouragement. They need it today for a reason that you don't understand. And so the very first thing that we need to do is we need to tell one another, hey, I'm with you. As a matter of fact, I was recently moving from Atlanta to here, and man, moving around Christmas time's crazy. I didn't want to bother too many people because I know their schedules were really busy, and I just needed help. So I texted a couple guys, and I texted one of my buddies named Brad, and I just said, "Hey, Brad, I know it's busy. I know you got a lot going on. Is there any way you think you could just come and help me move a couple things?" And he just simply texted back this one phrase. He said, "I'm with you." He was saying, "Dustin, whatever you need, I'm in." Literally, that was the phrase that he texted me. He said, "I'm with you. Let's go." And then he came. And just by him saying that, there's power in telling people how you feel. Don't wait till they're 6 feet deep and you're in a circle to start telling everybody else how you felt about them. Let's let one another know that we value them, that we care about them. In Ephesians 4:29, it says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." First one is to tell them. The second one is to show them. First thing that we need to do to show people that we're with them in 2018 is to tell them. But the second thing is to show them. I had a Randy in my life. Bob, that story that I shared about Bob Goff, he had his kind of mentor, Randy. I had somebody like that. His name was Danny Fuakawa. And Danny was really, really special to me, still is to this day. And I don't care how good of parenting you are or are not. I don't care how good your home is. I just believe that every single person, every single child needs an outside person mentoring them and guiding them as well. A third-party person is always helpful. My parents can tell me to make my bed, and I could say no. And then Danny can say, "Hey, why don't you make your bed?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great idea. You know what? I'll make my bed. Thanks, Danny. I never thought of that." And so I just think it's always important to be able to bring along leaders in your life and mentors. And Danny Fuakawa was one of those for me. And he was very, very instrumental in my life. And Danny, a couple days before my wedding, my car broke down. And we were planning on driving for our honeymoon. And without me knowing, he went and got a rental car for me. And I said, "Hey, I just want you to know, took care of all this. Here's a rental car. Go and have a good time." I remember just being blown away because he had gone the extra mile. And that phrase comes from Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's in Matthew 5:40. It says this, "And if anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, hand it over and your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. When we begin to tell a community that we're with them, and then we go the extra mile, they don't know how to respond to that. As a matter of fact, they may even think you're a little bit sketchy. Well, what are you trying to get out of this? But when we love lavishly and tell a community we're with them, it blows them away, and they begin to ask questions, and we just get to point to Jesus. The third thing that we want to do is we want to stick with them. We want to stick with them. And what I mean by that is it's one thing to tell them, it's another thing to show them. But if you work with people, you're going to have some problems. Every person in this room is messed up, including myself. We got some issues. And so when we start working with other people, we begin over time to rub each other the wrong way. And we know that, but what we want to do and what we want to be able to say in 2018 is, hey, coworker, hey, neighbor, hey, friend, no matter what happens in 2018, I'm with you. Meaning when we get in a fight in April, it's not going to break us because I'm with you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm with you. And 1 Thessalonians says this, 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, we loved you so much that we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And I love how that's phrased because we're not just here to just kind of share with you Jesus. We're here with you to share a meal with you on a Friday night. That person that I talked about earlier named Randy, he worked for an organization called Young Life. And Young Life is a powerful organization, and that's what he was. He was a Young Life leader. I used to work with Young Life, and powerful, absolutely loved everything about it. And I think they describe it really, really well. And several years ago, I saw an Instagram post that described this idea very well. And it says this, if you can't read it, it says, Young Life doesn't wait for kids to clean up, grow up, or show up. We go to them crossing barriers to build bridges of authentic friendships. We enter their world with no expectation of kids of who kids should be, but with every hope for who they can become. We don't wait for kids to grow up, clean up, or show up. We go to them, crossing barriers and bridges. If there's anything you could say, hey, Pastor Dustin, what is the idea for family ministry? It's this right here. We're not going to wait for kids to clean up or show up. We're going to go to them and we're going to bring the hope and the light and the love of Jesus Christ to anybody and everybody we can. Jesus didn't wait in heaven and say, hey, come to me, come to me, come to me. He said, no, I'm going to go to you. And even though you're messed up, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to give you grace unconditionally. I'm just going to keep going and going and going. And that's what I love about that quote. And it sounds a lot like Luke 15. It sounds a lot like the prodigal son. You see, this whole idea of Jesus sticking with us, there was a Last Supper with somebody that was going to turn him in, and that character, Bob Goff, that I keep talking about, he tweeted something as well. If we could show this, it says this. This is Bob just talking. He says, if I had one last meal, I wouldn't spend it with a person that I knew was going to betray me, but love does. You see, he has one last meal, and he decides to stick with Judas. And that's what love does. When we say we're with you to the end. And that's that whole idea of the prodigal son found in Luke 15. I don't know if you're familiar with the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son, but it's this young man that asked for his inheritance early. I'm going to give you a real quick synopsis. He asked for his inheritance early, which is very offensive to his dad, basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. And he goes off, runs away, and just basically goes to a Las Vegas and spends it on wild living. And it says that he came to the end of himself. And when he came to the end of himself, he began to think, he said, man, surely I could go back to my dad. And if I beg and beg and beg, maybe he'll take me back as his hired servant. And so he comes, the Bible says he came to his senses and he began a journey back home. And it says the father from a long way off saw him, which means the father is always looking, no matter how far we are. From a long way off, he's looking. And he begins to run. And he begins to celebrate. And he begins to give him all these fancy gifts and throws a lavish, incredible party. That's a beautiful story of a God that will do anything and everything for you. A God that would love you unconditionally to the point where he lays not just one small sheet, but rows and rows and rows of sheets and wraps them around his son and says, man, there's nothing greater than I want than for you to be home. And that you're always welcome, no matter how far gone you are, you're always welcome. And the truth is, maybe in a room this size, we have some people that can identify with the prodigal son right now. And maybe you just need to know today that you can come home. That today you can come home. That there's nothing stopping you from the love of God. But I believe there are a lot of people in this room that you may have already been a prodigal son. You've already been a prodigal daughter. And I think what 2018 might say is, you know what, your prodigal son, your prodigal daughter is not your identity. Instead, you're the father in that story. It's now our time to be moms and dads and to take these and go into a community and wrap them around people that think they're too far gone. And to take the same unconditional love that we've received and to go into the community, to go to our neighbors, to go to our workplaces and say, I'm with you. The way Christ is with me, I'm with you. The way Christ loves me, forgives me, the way he does anything and everything for me, I'm with you. You see, Luke 15 was an illustration of Jesus' love for us, but it's also an example for us to follow. And when we go around and tell people how much we love them, and then we show it, and then when we stick with them, we begin to bring about a John 17 awakening, and revival begins to take place according to Jesus' prayer. And that's one of the biggest things we've been praying, leading up. I've been praying months and months and months. God, would you allow an awakening to take place in Central Florida? Would you allow revival to begin to take place in this community? Let me pray for us. God, when I remember Luke 15 and when I see that video and I'm reminded of your grace, when I'm reminded of your love, I'm overwhelmed. My knees begin to shake because I know what a mess I am, but yet you continue to love me unconditionally. And so God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what last week represented, you coming down to earth to say, no matter what your mess is, Dustin, I'm with you. And not just Dustin, but every person in this room, that no matter what our mess is, no matter how far gone we may have been, I'm with you. And so God, I pray maybe there's somebody in here that feels a little bit like the prodigal and they need to go into 2018, a changed person. So God, would you bring to life things that are dead? But God, maybe there's some people that have already had their prodigal son or daughter moments, and now you're calling us to be the parents in this scenario and to go to across the street and just take sheets and wrap them around our neighbors. And instead of yelling at them for parking on our grass, we make them a meal. And so God, would you give us the same amount of grace to others that we've received. But we need your Holy Spirit. We need your help. We can't do it on our own. We won't do it on our own. And so, God, we need you. We want to see an awakening. We want to see revival. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. I'm with you with Family Pastor Dustin Agard. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.